Further factors are member preferences one has to take into consideration. Whatever is the competency of that member of the team, he should be given such work where his competencies will be useful. If he is having any family problem at that particular time, he should be given few days off and based on the member preferences, and from home he can work with virtual team work, etc. if required. And so ultimately the team should coherently work to achieve the goals. As far as the common plan and purpose is concerned, the whole team should sit together and arrive at a common plan for everybody, and everybody should know what exactly is the purpose for this team formation and what is expected to achieve by what time. That one has to know clearly so that they are going to work coherently to achieve the purpose of the organization. As far as the goals of the team are concerned, they should be right from beginning absolutely specific, measurable, so that whatever is measured is counted and it can be improved upon if required. Because unless there are measurable goals, it will be difficult to achieve. Intangible goals are really difficult to find out whether they are being achieved in the proper way or not. So goals should be specific, measurable, achievable. It should not be absolutely impossible. And naturally, it should not be against the law and all of the land. It should be realistic and relevant to the teamwork, team purpose, and it should be time bound so that your project doesn't get delayed, whereby some problems will come from the customer delight will not occur, and they may ask for the compensation because of the delay and all. So your time bound goals should be there, and they should be followed strict guidelines for achieving those goals in the time that has been allocated to achieve. As far as the team efficacy is concerned, one should see to it that this team is highly professional. They have done certain jobs earlier and achieved some purposes earlier, so that they are confident in achieving this now also based on their past experience, and they are always learning and research minded, so that even if the new problems comes, they are able to come to conclusion what should be done further. And they should be having high liaisoning power people also, so that they can get external resources and consultants if required ultimately to achieve the results within time. As far as the team conflicts are concerned, one should remember that interpersonal conflicts should be sorted out as early as possible, and everybody should be given a chance to give suggestions and ideas, and self-respect should be maintained among all, and based on the expertise of a person, he should be given a chance to give the right suggestions, and then people should follow that once they are convinced with why he is telling this by his explanation, so that the team can achieve their results in a better way. As far as social loafing is concerned, saying that somebody else will do this work, I am not the only person responsible for this, which is common in groups, one should avoid that. And one should take not only the individual responsibility and accountability, but one should take the group responsibility, the whole team's responsibility, mutual responsibility and accountability, so that social loafing is not occurring and the team is getting their goals achieved at the right time. As far as the drawbacks of teams are concerned, usually there is going to be multiple meetings to be organized, and it takes greater time. And since there are multiple people working with different minds, at times if they are not coherent and if they are not come to conclusion properly, it may waste certain resources. There can be high demand of communication and adjustment among the team members. There can be interpersonal conflict or intergroup conflicts in the team members at times. And usually the initial formation period is going to be unproductive, because initially there is lot of conflict which may arise in the team also. If people are not that professional, there is going to be constant discussion for few idea generation delay, new idea generation, and hence there will be delay in work, with poor team spirit in any member, since they are interdependent on the work of each other at times. Overall, the goal may not be achieved at the right time, and there will be low benefits of the team to the organization. Sometimes some people are thinking that somebody else will do this, so I may not put in full efforts, and social loafing can occur. And sometimes some of the team members who are more dominant, other people can get carried away with their dominance, and then they think in the same lines what they are thinking, rather than taking into consideration all aspects of the required problem that is there in front of us. And groupthink can lead to bad decisions by the team, and ultimately you may not get the right goals achievement. So let's understand how the team communication should occur. Is the biggest source of interpersonal conflicts within the group, if we see, is poor communication. What is communication basically? Communication is, a sender is going to first generate an idea within his mind. He is going to encode the message, and through a channel of communication, he is going to send that message, and finally a receiver is there on the other hand who is going to decode this message, understand it, then give the feedback to the sender. At every level there can be certain barriers, and if the status of two people is different, if the language is a problem, if the semantics is a problem, if there is a noise, if the interest of different people are towards different areas, all these things can be barriers, and one cannot get the right communication across, and which will lead to not getting what is to be done by the other person, and it will lead to interpersonal conflicts. So within the group, if there is a poor communication, there will be a problem in achieving the group goals. So what are the functions of communication? First, one should control of members' behaviors should be there, so that people should not shout at each other. One should have art of listening in the group. One should give due respect to every member of the group, and one should control their behavior. They should not become aggressive or violent. One should motivate everybody to give their opinion and ideas. One should be able to emotionally express their ideas with the right perspective. One should not be condoned to express their emotions. One should facilitate the decision making among all by giving due respect to everybody, by giving the chance for everybody to speak in the group, and then discuss about these ideas with coherence. And nobody should be given an impression that that fellow's ideas are useless, he should not talk in this group, and things like that. So what is the communication process? Already we have seen sender, encoding, message, channel, decoding, receiver, noise, feedback. And communication direction can be vertically downward from top management to the lower people, by giving them the mission statement, giving them the what are the goals to be achieved, how it is to be achieved, and if somebody has done something wrong, then even punishment. So vertically downwards, or it can be upwards, where the lower people are telling about the reports what they have done to the higher management, or it can be in the form of some requirement by the lower people to the higher management, or their any kind of problems that they are facing, what kind of resources they need, etc. So upward communication will be there, and there can be even the horizontal communication from one department to other, when they are interdependent on each other, or some of the work where they depend on each other. Interpersonal communication can be in the form of oral, where it is people are speaking. Oral communication is very important, but in oral communication, when it is one to one or one to many, one can see the expression of that person also. So even the body language or the non-verbal behavior also can be seen in that, along with the oral communication, which helps what exactly is going behind his mind also, and the tone of the voice, etc., also will tell us what he says is with anger or is with compassion or in what way. While written communication is something where we are not seeing face to face that person, it will be written down either in memo or in email, etc. Of course, it has got more value because somebody may say that I have not told this, but written it is in clear black and white in front of you, where nobody can then go against it. Non-verbal communication in the form of body language, in the form of emotional expressions, face, eye expression, the gestures, all these things are very important because it gives a lot of idea about exactly what is going behind in this person's mind. At times he may say yes and he is nodding his head horizontally, which means basically he doesn't want to do that. So non-verbal communication gives a much more idea than the oral communication that is there. Organizational communication can be formal in the form of the top management telling to the middle management, telling to the lower management and to the workers. It can be in the form of memos, it can be in the form of emails. But usually it is in the scalar chain, top to down, or in case of some suggestions or something, it can be bottom to up or some requirement. So it's a formal where the workers will tell it to the supervisor, supervisor will tell it to the middle management, who will in turn tell it to the higher management and all if it is not in their purview. Chain network, where it is in chain that people are going to tell from one to other, while in wheel network, even the leader can tell to the worker directly. And grapevine is something which is informal communication which occurs, and it, like rumors and all, like fire, it can spread from one part of the organization to the other. Grapevine is also an important kind of communication one should not ignore, and HR people should be very careful and have got some people in the organization who can be in contact with various kinds of people, whereby even the grapevine communication they can get, which gives an idea about what's there in the mind of various kind of people in the organization and how to go about it. Not necessarily all the grapevine is true, but still it may have some amount or some degree of truth in that, and one should not ignore that totally. Electronic communication is in the form of emails and computers and all, but it can result in misinterpretation sometimes. That can be inappropriate, and it is inappropriate for negative communication. If you are going to tell about somebody's death, you are not able to express your emotions and give the closeness to the person, which can occur only when you are doing it one-to-one, personally, orally, and showing your emotions, showing your non-verbal gestures and all, which is very important in empathetic kind of gestures that you can show. So in case of negative communication, your email is not proper, appropriate. Secondly, it can be time consuming, because when a person is going to read their email, is not going to, he may not be sitting at the office at that time. He may come after 3 hours, and something which is urgent, he may not read the email at that time, he may not have time, or then it will be difficult. Then it is limited for emotional expression. You can't verbalize all your emotions in your email, and there are going to be some privacy concerns because lot of hacking is occurring in case of computers and all, whereby some of the secret messages may be read by somebody else, or if they hack your account, email account, they may write on your behalf something wrong, and then it can affect your career in future also. So privacy concerns are also there for emails. There are instant messaging which can occur by text messaging like SMS and all on the phone. Then there can be social networking in the form of Facebook or WhatsApp and other things. There are blogs or weblogs where people can load all the information and there can be video conferencing is something which is of a modern concept which is happening in today's world very commonly, because they have got multinational companies where they have got different offices in different locations all over the world, and it is not possible for all people to come together every now and then to discuss certain problems, in which case video conferencing will help in arriving at conclusions all over the world regarding some of the products or services to be given, or some of the important decisions by the top management to be taken by the top heads of various location of the same multinational company, who should be discussing about their the new strategies that they want to develop in their company. So video conferencing is taking lot of advantages, because it's impossible for everybody to arrive, lot of time will be wasted, lot of money will be wasted. In that case, even nowadays video conferencing is being used for some of the higher management candidates to give the interviews, so that you need not pay them the airfare to come to your office to give the interview. And based on the video conferencing interview, you can decide whether he should be taken or not. What are the barriers to effective communication? Well, all the communication that occurs between the sender and the messenger, the message given to the final person whom it should be given, and it should be understood in the same way that the sender has sent the message. Many times it may not occur. One thing is filtering. When it is to be given from one person to the other, and if there are multiple people in between, then they may change the meaning of that totally. They may filter out the information to be given to the lower people or to the higher people, in case they feel that the higher people would not like to listen this kind of information, which is not true. Or their performance appraisal, suppose when they are discussing, when they are going to tell it to the higher performance regarding their performance, they want to hide certain negative things and they will show only positive aspect of their performance to the higher management, so that it will be giving the positive impression about them to the higher management. So this kind of filtering is happening many times in communication. Then comes selective perception. Only positive aspect will be given, or certain things which you would love to hear, you will be telling that to the higher management. If there is too much of information, then a person cannot decide what is the important information on which he can take the decision. Then also it will be too much of confusion for the person, and if it is not analyzed properly, tabulated and sorted out, it will be really very difficult for the person to take any decision based on the information given. In fact, today is the world of era of information. We got lot of information. If you go to Google and ask for any information, it will give you thousands of pages of information regarding that particular aspect, and it will be difficult for you to really sort out what is needed for you. As far as the emotions are concerned, that also can be a barrier to effective communication. When you are angry, under the rage, under the anger, you are not able to decide properly, your decision making is affected, and the way you communicate, the other person will not be having the proper tone and will not lead to the proper understanding of that person because of these kind of emotions. Or when you are sad, you are hardly able to talk, you are crying all the time, so the other person is not understanding exactly what you want to tell. And at times people are withholding some communication and giving only some communication to the other, which will be preventing them to take the right decision. There are individual apprehensions to give certain aspect in the organization to the either the lower people, workers, or to the higher management, and that also will lead to inadequate information to be passed to the right person, which will be leading to misinterpretation and problems in the further actions. At times people are sharing inaccurate information, even they don't know exactly. They go on telling this. In grapevine it is occurring much more commonly, and which will lead to a problem in understanding what exactly should be done. And there are cultural issues whereby the same words may mean different to different people, or some gestures which are commonly used by some of the cultural national cultures may be having different meaning in different cultures. So this is going to play a great barrier to the effective communication. So in case of multinational companies, whenever they are going to some other country, they have to learn about their culture, they have to learn about their language, so that they will be able to communicate in a proper way. So let's understand about the leading of teams. Since we have seen how the teamwork is done, usually there is going to be a leader in the team who is going to give the instructions to the team members, what should be done, how it is to be done, and all. There are various, what is leadership? Basically, it is a person who can influence others to follow him to behave in that particular way. Or he can inspire others to do with an emotional appeal so that a person will behave in what the leader wants to do. There are various theories of leadership: trait theory, behavioral theory, contingency theory, etc. Let's see what is trait theory. Trait is something which is a quality of a person, the characteristic of a person. Usually we say every human being is formed of multiple cells. There is a nucleus and cytoplasm. In the nucleus there are chromosomes, and on the chromosomes there are genes. So these are certain genetic traits which are given from parents to their children. And certain leaders have got that kind of traits whereby they are more social, they are conscientious, they are empathetic, they are influential to others, and these are some of the qualities of the leaders which make them leaders, one can say. This is the theory of leadership. However, there are certain criticisms to this theory also, that all people having these traits are not necessarily successful to be a leader of a team. Then there is a concept of behavioral contingency which is given by Fiedler model, where he has talked about least preferred co-workers questionnaire, and based on that he says that a person's behavior can be changed. Ohio has given the behavioral contingency theory, or situational theory is also there, which says that some of the leaders should be talking and telling what people to do. By some of them, the employees may be such where just by telling them they are not going to do, you have to show them how to do it, then only they will do. Some of them need marketing, the importance of that to be done. So there are various ways based on the situation one has to use the leadership style. In case of some people who are hard nuts to work, probably you may have to have autocratic theory. While some people you need a kind of behavior where you are going to take their suggestions, and then so that they feel that they are involved, their importance is looked after by the leader, and at times you may have to take your own decisions, of course, then it is partly benevolent, but at times you have to take their suggestions and do according to their suggestions if they are right, and if you feel it is, they are professional enough to do that, in that case you are going to follow their suggestions and then telling to do accordingly, then they will be having lot of participation in decision making and they will be happy working in such a team. And there are some laissez-faire kind of leaderships where they are not bothered about what to do. They will totally delegate everything to the team members to do as they wish, which may be good if all are highly professional and highly knowledgeable, but which may lead to problems if proper control is not there at all. Then there are charismatic leaders who have got high charisma because people revere them because of their some qualities, because of their personalities, usually they are tall. The way they speak is highly emotional. So such charismatic leaders are there who are conscientious, outgoing, extroverts, and people are going to follow them. But at times some of the charismatic leaders, if they are having this kind of charisma, but in their mind, if they are having negative attitude, then they can lead to disasters. Terrorism is increasing because of such kind of charismatic leaders. Hitler was a charismatic leader. Mahatma Gandhi was a charismatic leader. But they have got different kinds of connotation. And the way they have made the followers to work was totally different. So there are some people who are transformational leadership, where they can transform the ideas of people. Social transformation was done by Pandurang Sastri Athavale. One knows he is a spiritual leader. And he used to transform the minds of people and work towards the betterment of the society as a whole. So transformational leaders are there where suppose the organization is not working properly, they are in the doldrums. If you get a transformational leader, it can lead to revival of the leader, of the whole organization or the team, and it will be very good for the organization to have such kind of transformational leadership. There are some concepts of leading for the future. One is mentoring. These are the reasons are experience should be shared and it should provide access to attitudes of employees. A mentor is one who is comparatively a senior leader who is going to handhold the junior person who comes to the organization. He is going to take care of his individual problems as well as his career path is to be formed by the mentor, and he should be guided and successfully make him arrive at those career paths at the right time. So mentoring is very important in case of organizations as far as the future leadership is concerned, and that is very common in nowadays. A buddy hand holding is done by the senior person in many of the good organizations today, but there are limitations at times. The mentors themselves are leaving the organization and going to some other organization, in which case it will be difficult for continuing this kind of thing. So what are the various barriers to effective leadership? One is tendency to hide own shortcomings. Some of the leaders are not expert in their field, but due to political reasons or due to some coterie, they have come to a top position. Now they have got some of the shortcomings, so they tend to hide those shortcomings, which will lead to the organizational goals not achieved in the right perspective, and it can lead to fall in the profitability, and the image of the organization also can be adversely affected by this kind of leadership. There are some leaders who are insecure from within, and they do not delegate the work to the others, in which case poor delegation will lead to more and more work being done by the leaders themselves, and the quality of work will suffer. The vision, the conceptual ideas of growing the organization will not occur because of the routine work that the leader is doing. Some of the leaders are very close-minded. They do not open up and don't tell their ideas properly to others, or when the others are telling, they just don't listen to them. They go on continuing their own ideas and doing it. There are some leaders who do not use the appropriate leadership style based on the situation. Suppose there is an emergency crisis, you have to use the autocratic style of leadership. There you cannot wait and tell everybody to meet, everybody to give their ideas, how to come out of this crisis, and then start acting. By the time already, lot of damage is done to the organization. Similarly, there are some people who need hand-holding, who need them to be showed exactly what is to be done. In that case, you cannot delegate them just and tell them that complete this work, do this project, without giving them proper guidance, without supporting them with the right resources. So inappropriate leadership style can lead to lot of damage to the organizational because they cannot achieve their goals. Self before others approach. There are some highly self-centered leaders who look for only their name and fame, only their profitability rather than the organizational goals or their subordinates' goals. In which case, naturally, the team members will not like to work for such a team. They will be having lot of disillusionment that they cannot work together in such a, under such a leader, and hence this team will break or they are not going to achieve the results that is needed to be achieved. Inability to handle power dynamics. There is going to be power and politics dynamics in any organization, and if the leader is not able to handle these power dynamics, then naturally those who are powerful will supersede him and try to create lot of problems for this kind of leadership and take away the members towards their ideas, whereby his role as a leader will be at stake. Nobody will follow him. If the leader shows poor consistency in his ideas, today he tells something, tomorrow he tells something else for the same kind of problem, what will happen? The team members will not have faith in that person. What should be done, they won't know exactly, and it will be very difficult to achieve the goals of the team. If the leaders are having a lot of favoritism, in that case, the subordinates or the followers of that team will not like to work for such a team, because they will feel that there is lot of subjectivity and lot of bias is there towards certain people only, and hence others will be demotivated to work for such a team. With this, we have learned the various aspects of groups and teams, and we have differentiated between the group and team. We also learned about the communication in the team and the leadership in the team, and understood what are the positive things that a leader should have, the theories of leadership, the way the situational theory of leadership should be more adopted by the leader based on the situations rather than only one particular way. And they should be not only task oriented but also people oriented. So if we see the leadership grid, 9-9 is the ideal leadership grid one should have, so that both the people and the task are taken care of equally, and such team members in this will be highly coherent and they would love to work for such a leader and get the organizational goals to be achieved. Thank you.